talking about a revolution. It sounds like a whisper while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution.
Welcome back. You're listening to Tax Smart Talk with Steve-O. News Talk WLOB, 1310 AM and 100.5 FM. Please join me in welcoming our guest. We have Scott Planting here. He's president of Maine Seacoast Mission. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And we obviously want to talk about the work that you're doing and kind of the particular needs and challenges and opportunities here in Maine. But why don't we start with a little bit of your background and how you ended up here in Maine and kind of your background in terms of education, where you grew up, and then we'll get right into the discussion.
Thank you very much. I've lived in Maine for 42 years now.
But you're not a real Mainer.
Not a real Mainer.
I know.
I know all the rules.
I know. Those rules, those kind of parochial rules, I personally think kind of hurt Maine. You know, it's meant as kind of a quaint thing, like, oh, no, if you came here a day after you were born, you're not a real Mainer. But why do we want to even kind of jokingly disparage people from either making affirmative choices or being here by not being a Mainer? But that's another four-hour show that we could cover. So you've been here for 40. Where'd you grow up?
Grew up in the Midwest. Grew up in St. Louis. Went to school in Massachusetts. And I'm a minister, and after divinity school.
We've got to back up. When you say Massachusetts, it was Harvard, right?
Yes.
And you're like the first Harvard guy that didn't mention Harvard. And again, that's refreshing. I used to work.
That's true.
It is true. I used to work with a guy, and I'm not going to mention his name, but over years of working with him, we would be in like Denver or Texas, the other side of the world, and somebody would bring in with a croissant, and he would go, man, this is delicious. It's just like ones I used to have in Cambridge when I went to Harvard. Conversely, here you are just saying I went to school in Massachusetts, but Harvard wasn't a bad school, right?
No, it was a great school. So I moved from Cambridge to Farmington, Maine, a small town of 7,000 people in western Maine.
Why?
I loved it. I had worked there as an intern for the summer before I finished school, and I discovered community that I did not know growing up in sort of suburban Midwest community. It was very different. And I loved it. And what I learned really early on is being a Harvard person meant nothing to people right. in Western Maine.
Right.
All they wanted to know was sort of the quality of your character and who you were as a human being. That's what counted.
Right. It just didn't hold currency up there. Whereas sometimes in corporate worlds or other environments, it's like, oh, you went to Harvard. You know, generally, when you get to a place where people are like living their lives and they care about their kids and what's going on in the community, where Scott Planting went to school probably just didn't and doesn't mean a lot, right?
Didn't mean much of anything. It was just the fact that I was interested in them, cared about them, and found it a really interesting place.
Right. So you when you went up there, shortly thereafter, you became the minister at the Presbyterian Church of Farmington?
Yep.
How does one, your education at Harvard, you have a Master of Divinity, how does one go from kind of the academic realm to applying for the job to be the parish minister? What is the career track that brought you there?
Good question. I had spent a fair amount of time in the Midwest. I worked for Monsanto Chemical. Working on farms, learning about farmers, and I really enjoyed these rural small communities. What was really interesting to me is the skills people had. You know, these were people who worked with their hands, people who could fix anything, and I really, really valued that. And that was a world totally different than sort of the academic world that I had grown up in. And there was this huge disconnect where both sides sort of didn't value each other. And my whole sort of career has been kind of a bridge person in Western Maine. My whole professional life has been in small communities in Maine that have suffered a lot. when I started in Western Maine, little towns had wood turning mills. There were ways of life for people. So if you, once you, you kids went to high school, went to college, but there was something there in the community for them. I saw over my 40 years that fall apart, where there was no longer something to draw people back, where you could have a good quality of life within your own community. That all fell apart.
Why do you think it fell apart? Was it more about human behavioral elements, or were the underpinnings of the old world economy in terms of textile, in terms of wood? So do you think it was more of just an economic reality that led to kind of a collapse of an economy where people could find work and they could kind of sustain themselves?
I think it was a totally economic thing. You know, these are very interconnected economies. In Western Maine, a woods-based economy, coastal Maine, very much connected to the ocean, very interconnected. And when one piece of it started to fall apart, it basically all fell apart.
Right. We have Scott Planting here. He's president of Maine Seacoast Mission. So from 75 to 2010, you were a minister at the Presbyterian Church, and then you went on for some period concurrently as executive director of the mission at the Eastward. Describe a little bit what was or what is the mission at the Eastward.
Mission at Eastward, it's a cooperative parish. I served three churches. It was part of a 9-church cooperative where small churches in very small communities across Western Maine, there was strength in working together. So with kids, you know, in a small community that I would serve, like up towards Sugarloaf, you'd have a handful of kids in the community. But with 9 churches, you could get all the kids together. And you could have 50 or 60 kids. You could start a summer camp. You could start all kinds of really good programming.
Get to critical mass, whether it's for sports or events. So you didn't have 4 kids in one town or 5 in another.
Right. So we were able to do some really creative, really wonderful things. Actually, the communities in Western Maine were not dissimilar. We found from communities in South Africa. So we developed a bridge with a community in South Africa and send groups back and forth.
Did you ever go to South Africa as part of that?
Ten times.
I'm going next month.
It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Incredibly life-giving place.
We're going to the Cape Town area and then traveling a few hours north from there. And my wife and I and our kids were wanting to go somewhere with both some cultural and geographic and kind of interesting world experiences. And so we'll be there in a few weeks.
Good for you. It'll change your life.
Great. So talk about how that evolved into, and why don't we start with describing what is Maine Seacoast Mission, where you're the president of Maine Seacoast Mission. And as we talk about this, the website is seacoastmission.org. So talk about the work that's being done and the need that you're serving with Maine Seacoast Mission.
What people most know about the Seacoast Mission is our great boat, the Sunbeam. We have a 74-foot steel-hulled boat that just last night got back from Matinicus Island. It goes out. We provide health care. We provide community development. We provide spiritual support for people on about 6 islands.
Where are the islands again? I'm not familiar with the island you just mentioned.
The boat's docked in Northeast Harbor on Mount Desert, and we go from there to Frenchboro. We go to Swan's Island. These are known as the Outer Islands, Islaho, Matinicus, Monhegan.
Wow.
And it's incredible. We've been doing this for 111 years. We also go east into Washington County, and we've always provided direct services for people in small, very isolated communities, be they island communities or coastal communities.
So what is the mission of the mission? You know, is there a stated mission where not just in terms of geography or people that you're serving, but what is the core focus?
We provide health care, education, social services, spiritual support for people in these isolated communities.
And is there a focus on children, or is it just a function of those are probably some of the most vulnerable members of our society because they're limited by their life experiences or their family experiences, where at least adults have a little more option in terms of mobility and making other choices, right?
That's a very good point. The history of the mission is we have always been free to move where needs are the greatest. So whether it's out on islands where we're working with the fishing community or in down East Maine where we work with kids and a lot of elders, we move. We're not static. We move to where there are needs and opportunities for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, often, especially in political season, which unfortunately we're in the midst of, or at least we're closing in the final inning, hopefully. Most political policy discussions sooner or later become connected to or rooted to or exploited by, we have to do this for the children. You know, social service programs, Social Security, jobs, education, health care. You know, what are we doing with children? Maine faces some unique challenges that I've spoken about in the past because of our geography. And my hypothesis is that it's less about any individual's fault or failure, but we were one of the first settled areas in the U.S. We spread out during the old economy phase, industrial, wood, manufacturing, textile phase, in kind of a natural open way where, you know, trade area was 5 miles. So if 10 families settled in one area and there were some other families within 5 or 10 miles, they could trade wood, horses. One community member would teach the 6 kids. A couple other community members would farm. But as the economy has gotten more interconnected, as Maine's wood and textile industries have become inefficient relative to global standards, we've left kind of this very wide spread out landscape where there's not enough infrastructure, there's not enough health care, there's not enough quality education, and there's not enough job areas where there's density for people to find work, because my thought is it's about physics. It's about space and miles and time. And the people who are most really impacted, because it becomes multi-generational, are kids. And food insecurity both around the country, but particularly in Maine, is an incredibly big issue that nobody's talking about. So both in the area that you're serving with Maine Sea Coast Mission, but what's being done? Are people aware of it enough? Is the legislature talking about it enough? I know there's no simple answer, but from your work and from your experience, what should we be thinking about in terms of some of the most vulnerable members of Maine society?
What I see with children in Washington and eastern Hancock County is what we call an opportunity gap. An opportunity gap both in human capital in terms of skills that they have, education skills, and social capital. These are very isolated communities. And I think what's happening is that combination of human capital and social capital are very tightly connected. And so you have children living in very small, isolated communities. Schools working very hard to do the best they can for kids, but have limited resources. And also that social capital, where once very tightly knit communities where you could live and have a life, that's really hard to sustain. So families are very much on their own, and they don't know where to go. You mentioned early on that I went to a very good university. That's social capital. I have friends, networks that are all part of that, have benefited me throughout my life. Kids in eastern Maine have none of that. They are on their own. So a big part of our work is both to support the human capital in terms of educational strengthening for kids, but also the social capital. We have a group of kids at this very hour going down to Boston to watch see the Bruins.
What?
And going to see the Bruins game, if you live in Millbridge, Maine, is like going to another world.
Well, part of it's the sport, but part of it is driving through Boston.
It is.
Part of it is seeing scale. Part of it is seeing this vibrancy, and doesn't mean everyone has to move to a big city. But the closer you can connect with other options and see other kind of ways of life, that at least the more you can pursue dreams,
right,
or pursue plans that connect with that, right? Right?
The van will park outside the city someplace by a tea stop. We'll give the kids a pass.
Wow.
And say, see you at 7 at the garden.
That's so funny. I grew up in outside of Mass, and I used to take the Green Line in all the time. I know that well.
So that is a huge thing. You know, you and I, we don't even think a thing about that.
Right.
But if you're some rural kid and the goal is to navigate around a city, that is a huge thing.
Right. We have Scott Planning here. He's president of Maine Seacoast Mission. I want to talk about the programming you're doing and the needs. And for people that want more information, please go to seacoastmission.org. I've been talking about for years, and I didn't intend to bring this up with you as our guest this morning, But what you're doing is incredibly important for providing both social connectivity, engagement, kind of portals to different stuff. In Maine and everywhere, really, government policy is a key driver for educational change, for healthcare, for jobs, for environment. And as much as everyone, especially this election season, it has this this negativity and this disdain towards policy and government, in an organized democracy, it's required. You need to have structure. You need to have systems. And here in Maine, you're serving the interest of people that really need and benefit from your service. But do you have any thoughts on how Maine can change the trajectory? Because right now in rural Maine, in my opinion, the trajectory is negative because the new economy favors density and efficiency. The three growth areas in Maine are the three main urban capitals of the Portland area, Bangor, Lewiston, and Auburn in Bangor. That's where the net new jobs are coming. That's where the capital is coming in. And there's some smaller markets around Maine, primarily supported by tourism and small industries, that certainly are important places. But out of the size of Maine, the state can no longer sustain the inefficiency. So if we don't have better policy, that at some point has to promote consolidation, not administrative consolidation, but physical. But do you have any thoughts on that? Because I want to put you on the spot because you're doing important work in serving members of various communities. But if people don't wake up and go, okay, we can put focus there, which we need to, but we've got to change this trajectory over the next 20 years, and it doesn't feel like there's enough discussion being done on that area or in that area.
Very good, a difficult question. In our world in Eastern Maine, what I'm really heartened by is partnerships between governmental agencies, nonprofit agencies, and the private sector. People are beginning to work together. The Maine Seacoast Mission, we have part of the solution. We don't have the entire solution to educational. So we work with everybody. And I spent a lot of time with the philanthropic world. And foundations are much more interested in working with groups that are working together. A foundation in Portland, John T. Gorman, basically is really interested in funding groups of nonprofits that want to move a needle in a community in a certain way. So it's not just we'll fund you and you and you. We want you all to work together to begin to solve some problems. That's new, and that's very creative. You've got to get past competitiveness. You got to begin to think about the region as a whole, and that's going on, and that's very encouraging.
Yeah, and a couple other questions I want to cover in the next 5 minutes we have. We have Scott Planning here, president of Maine Seacoast Mission. Given that you have an academic background with a master in divinity, you spent 35 years as a parish minister at the Presbyterian Church in Farmington. Talk a little bit about, and again, this could be a five-hour discussion, so putting you on the spot again, but religion in Maine. You know, clearly there is statistical evidence showing that organized religion, regardless of denomination, you know, there are some negative trends in terms of seeing what's happening across Maine, specifically here in Maine. I think, you know, I don't want to get into a big discussion on theology, but I think anyone and everyone's religion where it's faith-based and it's positive. People need to believe in something and, you know, people need to share beliefs. People need to congregate. And so I think those elements, but there's also a growing portion of population that says, I don't relate to this particular doctrine. You know, I grew up and I went to parochial school and I grew up with Catholic Church and so some people have moved away from the construct of religion. I don't want to say favorite religion, but my favorite belief system is kind of the golden rule belief system, where if we wake up every day and we treat people the way we want to be treated, and if we have an anchor point of religious belief that we want to worship and attend, fantastic. But if nothing else, if we just wake up and go, man, I don't want people to hurt me, steal from me, lie to me, I'm not going to do any of those things. That feels like a pretty good starting point. So what is the state of the state with religion looks like in here in Maine?
The communities, the Seacoast Mission service from Machias to Monhegan, these are the most independent places I have ever known. So anybody who is going to go and sort of tell anybody anything is out.
Right.
You have to listen carefully. My bottom line for these communities, for the people that, we serve, is people love their communities. They love their home. And they want the best for themselves, their children, their families, their communities. That's what they really want. They want to be respected, understood, and cherished. And that's what we're about. We do not impose anything on anybody. We listen, we cherish. And again, this sense of place, to my mind, is a critical sort of spiritual issue. People have seen their lives diminish greatly. Everything that they've sort of held in their lives has been taken away from them. I learned really early on, change, the word change for somebody like myself always means sort of moving upwards. Change in rural Maine has always meant loss. Loss of all the institutions, the things you sort of hold your life onto.
Right.
And my sense of our religious spiritual base is to give people things that they can hang on to that are valuable. So our work with children, elders, everybody is to try to find things for them to hang on to that gives their lives meaning and encouragement.
In the last couple of minutes we have, why don't we talk about either programs that you have going on at Seacoast Mission, and their website is seacoastmission.org, or any kind of thoughts you can leave our listeners with if people want to get involved, either looking at your programming or participating. You know, our broadcast area is more in southern Maine, but, you know, Maine is a relatively small place where there's family members and people are connected to areas more in northern Maine. So talk about either programs you have coming up in the future or other ways people may be able to help.
Let me just give a shout out for our program called EDGE, Ed Greaves Education. This is a program we work in 9 public schools, have about 700 kids. It's an after-school program. So today, Friday at 2:30, children will go from the classroom to this very vigorous, active after-school program. The man who runs the program, the founder, Charlie Harrington, used to be a pulling guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which makes him a very big man and a big, very big, noisy man who loves kids and is a kid magnet. So this is a program that enriches. This is the guy that's taking the kids to see the Bruins today. We do everything sort of to tell these kids they are the best. So we have these kids from pre-K, we work with their families all the way through high school, and then we have scholarship programs for them coming out at the other end. There was a young woman I met this last summer who grew up in a very difficult situation. She lived in a mobile home, a trailer, and she talked to a group of people and said, just because I grew up in a trailer, don't dismiss me.
Right.
Don't overlook me. I'm going to be great. And this is a kid who grew up in our program and is now going to University of Maine at Orono, wants to come back to Cherryfield as a teacher. And again, it's that spiritual sense where you give a person, a community, a sense of hope and the life to go forward. And I'm very proud of that.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for sharing that with us this morning. And
thank you.
I think that the work that you're doing, by all accounts, is really helping, and it's really important work, because, you know, it sounds kind of like a trite slogan, but the future really is based on our kids, and if we don't do something to change some of the trends, things will never get better.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And for more information, please go to seacoastmission.org. They're on Facebook. You can find them on Twitter. They're doing great work. You've been listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk WLOB, 1310 AM, 100.5 FM. We'll be back next week. Thank you.